Welcome into the program today, folks. We're going to continue a series of studies that we started a few weeks ago. Started off talking about four main points of doctrine upon which our doctrinal statement is based upon. And those four points are a gospel that you can believe, a life that you can live, a Bible study that you can understand, and a Bible that you can trust. And like I said, those are the four main points that we're looking at. And we spent the last few weeks talking about a gospel that you can trust. And then last week we started talking about a life that you can live. And there's a life that you can live based upon the knowledge that we have available to us in God's Word. So we're going to continue on with a life that you can live and take a look at three main points: our life and our relationship to the law, our life and the relationship to the flesh and the world, and our life and the relationship to Christ. And of course, last time, like I said, we were looking at our life and the relationship to the law. And we looked about how no flesh is justified by the law. And we were talking about, we went through quite a few verses. I know sometimes you kind of get bogged down in things like that, but that's what Bible study is all about. Taking God's Word, reading it, trying to understand it. And if you don't know what that verse is talking about, just keep reading, because there's another verse that's going to tell you what that previous verse was talking about. Just keep reading. You don't have to worry about trying to figure out the Hebrew and the Greek behind it all, because the Bible's going to tell you what the Bible wants you to know. And the Bible is going to be able to, the way it's set up is it's going to be able to give you the opportunity to translate what the words mean by reading more verses. That's the way the Bible's set up. And that's why God tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We see that we need to study, but we also need to study the Bible rightly divided. And the last time we were talking about a life that you can live, there were two more verses that I just wanted to finish up with. If you go ahead and flip over to Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and go ahead and get Romans chapter 5, verse 20 as well. And we're going to take a look at these last two verses about our life and our relationship to the law. This past weekend, I was listening to another radio station, and I heard a person on there talking about how God gave them the words to write down the song. The song that they were writing was about the Ten Commandments. And of course, we know and understand the Ten Commandments are a part of the law, because we know there's about 600 and something commandments that God has given back in the Old Testament. But this person said that God gave them the words to write down for a song. And some of the words, first of all, the person who wrote this was trying to remember what the words were. And I'm thinking, if God gave you the words the first time, then he's probably going to give them to you again, because you shouldn't have to remember them. If God's able to do that, he's going to do that more than once. So the person was having a hard time remembering the words that they wrote down. But here's the thing that I have a problem with. The person says that God gave these words to write down in a song to glorify the Ten Commandments. One of the phrases of this song was, "The Ten Commandments have set us free." Now, I know, me personally, I've studied the Scripture quite a few times. I've never seen in Scripture where it states that the Ten Commandments have set us free. In fact, we looked at a few verses last week in Galatians where the law actually puts you in bondage. And it's Christ that sets us free. It's not the Ten Commandments. It never was and it never will be. In fact, read right here in Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin." So the law, the Ten Commandments, actually lets us know that we're sinners. And that's what we looked at the last time, that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It's to make us know and realize that we are a sinner in need of a Savior. And the only way that we have that Savior is by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Romans chapter 3, verse 20 tells us there, says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." So, if there is no justification in God's sight by doing the works of the law, then the law cannot set us free. My point is God did not give that woman the words, because God will not contradict his own words that he has written down for us in the King James Bible. Anytime somebody comes along and says that God gave them words to say, if it contradicts the scripture, then God didn't give them those words to say. That's my point. God does not contradict the book that he wrote down. And the fact that this person was going around saying, God gave me these words, that the law had set us free. No, it didn't. And no, God didn't. The book has never said it. God himself has never said it. Romans 3:20 is a proof text saying that God didn't say that. Flip over to Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and this basically goes along with it too. Romans chapter 5, verse 20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So when the law enters, what was the purpose of it? That the offense might abound. That you will know that you're a sinner. That you will know that you fall short of the glory of God. That is the purpose of the law. It's a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, to bring us to the point that we know and understand that we're a sinner in need of a Savior and we cannot do it ourselves. That's what the law is for. It tells us and it shows us that you cannot do it. The law does not set us free. In fact, it takes us into bondage. That's what Galatians chapter 3 is all about. That's the same thing that people were coming along telling the folks in Galatia, that you need to be back under the law in order to please God. And Paul comes along and says, that's not true. The people that came in and told you this, they're under the Old Testament. They had to keep the law. Even then, the law did not save anyone. The law has never been set to save anyone. The law in and of itself cannot do what Jesus Christ done on the cross of Calvary. That's the reason why he had to come and die. Because God even told us that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sins of the world over in the book of Hebrews. So that is why he had to come along and say that I'm going to give my son up for the world so that through his death, burial, and resurrection, you trusting in that, you can have a salvation apart from the law. In fact, that's what it says over in Romans chapter 3. If you go back over there, Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There is no way in the world that you can be saved and set free by the law. It never happened. And God did not give that woman those words. That woman came up with the words herself. How do I know? How do you know that God didn't give her those words? Because God does not contradict his own words. God wrote a book for you and I to read, to study, and to learn. And he does not give extra biblical revelation to a woman that contradicts God's word. It's not going to happen. How do you know? The verses tell me. You know the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, I know that this woman didn't get those words from God because the Bible tells me so. So this concludes the part of our life and our relationship to the law. What's our relationship to the law? It's a schoolmaster that brings us unto Christ, and after that, it's nothing for us. It'll tell you when you fall short, but it brings us unto Christ, and from that point on, the just shall live by faith. Not by the works of the law, but by faith. So our second point, our life and our relationship to the flesh and to the world. Go over to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, this is a really important verse. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This verse has quite a bit going on. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Paul was a saved man when he wrote this book. Paul says that I am crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ, when he died on that cross, died for our sins, was buried and rose again. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we get his death. Therefore, Paul is able to say, I am crucified with Christ. His death becomes my death. His faith becomes my faith. That's what it says. Nevertheless, I live. I'm crucified with Christ, but I still live. Yet not I. It's not by my power. I'm not alive because of my doing. It's not something that I accomplished. But Christ liveth in me. When the moment that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation, at that moment and at that point in time, there's a lot of things that happen that no one really realizes. There's a lot of different things. You're sealed until the day of redemption. You have Jesus Christ come and live in you. The Holy Ghost comes in and sets up residence inside of you. And there's a lot of extra things that you get because you inherit some certain things. But the fact remains, it's Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, this body that I have to carry around with me for the rest of my life, the life that I live in this flesh, and it's not the fleshly things that I do, the fleshly desires and things like that, not that flesh. This flesh that I have to carry around, the life that I live right now in this body that I have to carry around until the day I die, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's Christ's faith that works through us. How does it work through us? By having the proper knowledge and understanding of the Scripture. That's what it's talking about when it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. If you see how Christ lived his life, every time something came up, how did he answer someone? With Scripture. He had Scripture built up and the doctrine built up in his life so that when anything comes along and something comes along, how he deals with it is through Scripture. You should always have a verse in your mind that takes you back to a point to where you're able to deal with whatever situation comes along. And it's the faith of the Son of God which you now live by. And it's not your doing, it's God's doing. Here's the greatest thing about it, folks. This is why you cannot lose your salvation, because God is the one that done it to get you saved, and God's the one that's going to live in you while you're saved. And anything you do that is contrary to God's word, that's your flesh trying to live out. That's your old man trying to come back in. You're a regenerated, saved person. You're a regenerated, saved person, and Jesus Christ comes in and lives inside of you, and the Holy Spirit sets up residence inside your soul, and he comes in and he takes God's word. That's why it's important to study God's word, is so he has something to work with. He has to be able to come along and take God's word and work it through your life. That's the whole point. The life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Go over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Says, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Anytime you say, God forbid, anytime the Bible says that, just think, God protests. God protests what is going on here. It says, God forbid that I should glory. God protests us glorifying ourselves, as with that lady that was on the other radio station that I heard down in Tennessee this past weekend. She was coming along and saying, God gave me these words. God forbid that you should glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in the law. You don't go glory in the law. You don't go glory in the flesh. The only thing that you should ever glory in is in the cross of Jesus Christ. Because Paul comes along and says, I don't want to know anything other than Christ and Him crucified. That's all I care about. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't glory in yourself. You don't glory in the things that you have done, the things that you have received. It's in the cross of Christ, by whom the whole world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So let us go back to Romans chapter 6 real quick. Romans chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 6. And read verses 6 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 through 7. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Notice the word crucified there is past tense. It's crucified with Him, with Jesus Christ. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now let's go down to verse 11. It says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The thing that we need to know and understand is that our new identity creates a new behavior within us. And notice our behavior doesn't change the identity. Our identity is supposed to change our behavior. You have a new identity in Christ. You are now a saved member. You are a righteous member. You're a saint of the Most High God. And I love that. I love that saying. I am a saint of the Most High God. Romans chapter 1, Paul starts talking about to the saints that be at Rome. You know you're a saint. You don't have to wait until you die and hope that somebody votes for you to become a saint. You're a saint of the Most High God as soon as you put your trust in death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. At that point in time, you become a saint of the Most High God, and your identity changes. So therefore, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, as you're supposed to be, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit gives you a new identity, and at that moment, you're taken out of Adam and you're placed into Christ. Go over to Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2 real quick. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. As soon as you're saved, at that point in time, at that moment, you're taken out of Adam and you're placed into Christ. There is therefore, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And if you want to look at what the context is going on here, go back to Romans chapter 7 and read that, especially the last few verses of Romans chapter 7. You'll get why there is therefore, because of what I just said, there is now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ. Go back and read Romans chapter 7, figure out what's going on there. But the fact of the matter is you have a new identity in Jesus Christ. You're crucified with Him. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. I've been crucified, and I've been given new life. That's what Romans chapter 6 is talking about here. We're dead to the world. Our flesh is dead. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, this is another... Colossians is one of my favorite books. Colossians is just a beautiful book. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Verse 1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid. And that word hid, right next to that, I want you to write stored away. And I know a lot of people don't like to write in their Bibles, but right there next to the word hid, write stored away. Because if something is hid, if you hide something, it's stored away. You seal it up and you store it away until a time in the future. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Galatians chapter 5. Go back to Galatians real quick. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. Starting in verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And I know a lot of people have a problem with that word, the word in there being led of the Spirit. A lot of people get misconceptions about what that means to be led of the Spirit. It's not someone dancing down an aisle or anything like that. Being led of the Spirit is letting God's Word live through you. And you can go over to Ephesians and Colossians and figure out what's going on there. That's actually what it's talking about. Letting God's Word work through you the way it's supposed to. That's being led of the Spirit. Spirit has a job to do, and that job is to take the word and the knowledge that you have and to help you through life. It's a comforter to help you through life. He has to have scripture to do that with. That's why it's important for us to study. But notice it says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, of drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Notice verse 22. Remember the word "but" the last time we were talking about some things? A few weeks ago, the word "but" says something different is about ready to be said. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And I want us to back up for just a second to kind of get an idea where Paul says in verse 16, says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In verse 18, he says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So I want to take a look at this, as I just said a few minutes ago, being led of the Spirit, and see exactly what that is talking about. So I want you to go over to Ephesians chapter 5, and then also I want you to go over and get Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And being filled with the Spirit is the same as being led of the Spirit. And the thing that we want to look at here, how are we to be filled with the Spirit? Notice that right there in verse 19, it starts off, and it's going to give you an idea of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice what it says here. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And as I've said before, if you want to understand Ephesians a little bit better, go over and read Colossians. I want you to go over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now notice that that kind of goes along with teaching and admonishing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. If you read Ephesians chapter 5, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So if you want to know what it is to be filled with the Spirit, you go over here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, you have the same wording, but right before it, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So to be led of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, is letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's by building up doctrine in your soul that the Spirit is able to work with. So to be filled with the Spirit means to be allowing the Word of God, the Word of Christ, dwell in you richly. Reading the Bible, studying it, bring it into your thought and into your mind. Then you're led by the Spirit taking that Word and that knowledge that you have and living it out in your life. Making it become the knowledge that you have and the knowledge that you need in order to be able to live the life that you're supposed to live and capable of living. And of course, we've come to the end of our program today, and there's a few more things that we want to get into, but as we always do, I want to end off with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And if you're in your car, at your desk, at home, at work, or in at home listening to this radio station, I want you right there where you are. You don't have to walk an aisle, you don't have to do a thing, you don't have to pray a certain type of prayer. Paul tells us, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. So he's going to give you the gospel that you're to be saved by. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And as I always say, right there where you're at, you can trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures for your justification. It is by his faithfulness to do on the cross what he was set out to do. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our placing our faith in his faithfulness to do what he did on the cross. As soon as you trust that as the gospel of your salvation, as soon as you put your faith in what Christ has done, at that point in time, as I said, you're sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Ghost comes up, sets up residence in your life, and Jesus Christ comes into your life as well. And as the verse we started off with, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me. It is the life of Jesus Christ that is going to come up and live if you study God's Word and let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because that Word is going to be work effectually in those that believe. If you read the Bible and you study in the Bible and you believe the Bible and you put that doctrine in your soul, the Spirit has something to work with, and that Spirit is going to help you live your life day by day. Not by tingly feelings, as I've said before, but by the words on the page. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And as I said, if you have made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can get in touch with us here. It's 859-575-2003. Or you can get a hold of me at crossworkministries@hotmail.com. Let us know if you've made that decision so we can get some literature out to you. We thank you and good day.